Chapter 1. The Time Traveller.
Every Thursday we used to have dinner at our friend's house in Richmond. He was one of those men who are all too clever to be believed. You always suspected some smart trick behind his logical explanations based on physics and its precise rules. On one of these occasions, he explained to us a complicated theory based on space and time, in which time was to be considered the fourth dimension. He added that he was going to try to travel into the past and the future using a device he had built all by himself. It couldn't move in space, but he claimed was able to travel in time. He showed us a time machine in his laboratory. The thing was generally complete, apart from the bars, which looked unfinished. I took one for a better look at it. It seemed to be quartz, whereas parts of the machine were of nickel, parts of ivory, and others of rock crystal.
"This machine took 2 years to make,"
said he.
"When this handle on the right is pressed, it sends the machine into the future. This handle on the left reverses the motion. That is, it makes it move in the opposite direction. And this is the traveller's seat, in front of which you can see the flight instruments."
There was a moment's silence. We looked at one another, rather puzzled and unbelieving.
"Are you really serious?"
said the doctor.
"I've never been more serious in my life,"
replied our friend in a resolute way.
"In that machine, I intend to explore time. Is that clear?"
Then he asked us to meet him at his place the following Thursday. I think that at the time, none of us quite believed in the time machine, and I do not think any of us said much about time travelling between that Thursday and the next. However, on the following Thursday, I went to Richmond again and found four friends in the sitting room. I asked them, "It's 7:30. Where's our host?" The doctor replied,
"He isn't here, but he left a note where he asks us to begin dinner if he's not back. He says, 'I will explain when I come.'"
"Well," said the psychologist, "let's start dinner then." And he rang the bell for the servant. We started eating and chatting in the usual friendly and lively way. Half joking, I said, "Our host's absence is due to his time travelling. I wonder where he is now." Everybody chuckled, and the publisher said, smiling,
"I'm sure our friend is travelling in the past. He's always loved history and archaeology."
The lawyer gave him an amused look and declared solemnly,
"He's a man of science, so no doubt he's in the future to see man's technological developments."
"Oh, come on,"
intervened the doctor.
"All this is nonsense. Time travelling in the past, in the future. What are you talking about? Our host is late just because he's having a romantic rendezvous."
Everybody started to laugh when suddenly the door opened slowly and our friend appeared before us. I gave a cry of surprise and the doctor exclaimed,
"Good heavens, man, what's the matter?"
All the men at the table turned towards the door. Our friend was in a terrible state. His coat was dusty and dirty. His hair was disordered and it seemed to me greyer, either with dust and dirt or because it had lost its colour. His face was as pale as a ghost. His chin had a cut on it. He had a very tired and pained expression. For a moment he hesitated in the doorway. He put a hand in front of his eyes as if he were blinded by the light. Then he came into the room, walking with a limp. We stared at him in silence, expecting him to speak. He did not say a word, but walked painfully to the table and pointed to the wine. The publisher filled the glass and pushed it towards him. He drank it in one swallow, and it seemed to do him good.
"What on earth have you been doing, man?"
asked the doctor.
Don't worry,"
he said with difficulty.
I'm all right now."
He held out his glass for more wine and drank it in a swallow again. His eyes became brighter and a little colour came into his cheeks. Then he spoke again, still with some difficulty.
I'm going to wash and dress, and then I'll come down and explain things. Save me some of that meat. I'm starving for a bit of meat. I feel a bit, let's say, strange. I'll be all right in a minute.
He put down his glass and walked towards the door. Again I noticed he was walking with a limp, and saw he had no shoes on, only a pair of torn, blood-stained socks. Then the door closed.
"What's the matter?"
said the lawyer.
"Is he playing a game?"
"Has our friend got a second job? Does he go out and earn money as a road cleaner?"
asked the publisher jokingly. "I'm sure it's this business of the time machine," I said. "I see, but don't they have any clothes brushes in the future?" inquired the psychologist lightheartedly. Our laughter was interrupted by the return of our host. He was dressed in ordinary evening clothes and still had his tired, strange look.
"I say,"
exclaimed the publisher,
"these gentlemen here say you've been travelling into the future. Tell us who's going to win at the general political election next year, will you? And how much money you want for the whole story?"
Our friend came to the table without a word. He smiled quietly in his old way.
"Where's my meat?"
he asked.
"How lovely it is to eat some meat again."
"Story!"
cried the publisher.
"I want something to eat. I won't say a word until I've got something in my stomach. The salt? Thanks."
"Just one word," said I. "Have you been time travelling?"
"Yes,"
said he with his mouth full, nodding his head. The time traveller, as I will call him from now on, pushed his glass towards the psychologist and made it ring with his fingernail. The psychologist poured him some wine. The rest of the dinner was uncomfortable as everybody was silent and curious about the time traveller's story. He gave all his attention to his dinner and appeared to have the appetite of a tramp. At last the time traveller pushed his plate away and looked at us.
"I suppose I must apologise,"
he said.
"I was simply starving. I've had an amazing time. But come into the smoking room. It's a very long story."
We all moved into the smoking room and sat on comfortable armchairs. He started talking.
"I'll tell you the story of what has happened to me, but you must not interrupt with questions. I very much want to tell it. Most of it will sound like lies, but I can assure you it's true, every word of it. Well, I was in my laboratory at 4 o'clock, and since then, I've lived 8 days as no human being ever lived before. I'm exhausted, but I won't sleep until I've told this thing to you. Then I'll go to bed. But no interruptions. Is that agreed?"
"Agreed,"
said the publisher, and the rest of us echoed,
"Agreed!" "Agreed!"
Soon after, the time traveller began his story. He sat back in his chair at first and spoke like a tired man. Afterwards, he got more animated. At first, we sometimes glanced at each other, but after some time, we stopped doing that and looked only at the time traveller's face.